Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today.
Listen to Rappaport's Reality with me, Kibi Rappaport.
And me, Michael Rappaport, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of the On Purpose podcast. This week, I talked to Orlando Bloom in a rare interview where we went deep into how to get comfortable with fear and how to change the guilt and shame thought pattern.
People say, what are you afraid of, right? I'm afraid of fear because it's like I want to confront anything in my life that feels challenging on those levels.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We have two very important issues that we're going to deal with today on the podcast. And this is one of those shows. I'm going to ask you to please share this podcast right now. Share it on social media. Hit that little share button, the forward arrow. Send it to your family and friends. Number one, a massive victory for the right to life in Texas. This Texas law, which is allowed to stand, the Supreme Court refused to get involved in a 5-4 decision, allowing to stand, saying basically in Texas, if there is a fetal heartbeat detected, you cannot get an abortion. This is a massive victory. We're going to deal with that, and I'll explain why in just a moment. Also, we are going to be joined by U.S. Senator Marsha Blackburn about what is happening to get the Americans stranded and left behind Afghanistan out of the country and why the White House and Joe Biden are not doing enough to get them out. This victory that has just taken place when it comes to protecting life in Texas, I cannot overstate the significance of it. And if you want to know how significant it is, just look at the Democrats' reaction to protecting life. Now, I've been saying this for weeks now. Never trust a party that is this psychotic about wanting to kill babies. If you want to know why the Biden administration can leave people behind to die in Afghanistan, look no further than their stance on abortion. They are people that you can't even get in the Democratic Party or get their endorsement from the Democratic Party locally or statewide or nationally unless you pledge allegiance to murdering children. Now, the White House press secretary said that this is an extreme law, saying it blatantly violates the constitutional rights established under Roe v. Wade. That is a lie. I'm going to explain exactly what the law did say in Roe v. Wade and why this is propaganda coming from the White House. But first, I want you to hear this White House, how angry they are that they can't kill as many babies they want to in the womb in Texas.
Well, we put out a statement from the president this morning, but let me just reiterate some of the key points, and I will, of course, answer your question. As the president said this morning, this extreme Texas law blatantly violates the constitutional right established under Roe v. Wade and upheld as precedent for nearly half a century. It will significantly impair women's access to the health care they need, particularly for communities of color and individuals with low incomes. It also deputizes private...
By the way, let's just start right there. Notice how this is immediately them advocating for killing African-American babies and minority babies. That's what they just advocated for. They're advocating for killing minorities, killing off minorities at extremely high numbers. That's exactly what they just advocated for. They tried to turn this into a race issue, like, oh, you're trying to suppress black people from getting abortions and Hispanics from getting abortions. No, we're trying to save innocent people, innocent children's lives in the womb who have the right and the viability outside of that womb. But they try to turn this into a racial issue, and literally that just screams racism. This is racism, folks. When you are advocating for killing black babies, and we know that Planned Parenthood kills more black babies, minority babies, than any other group in the world, And they're proud of this. They actually call it serving the minority community. Look at where Planned Parenthood puts their locations. They put them in minority communities so they can kill more minorities than any other group out there. That is pure racism. And what the White House just said in their comment proves my point that Planned Parenthood is an advocacy group for killing minorities. Prove me wrong on the numbers.
As precedent for nearly half a century, it will significantly impair women's access to the health care they need, particularly for communities of color and individuals with low incomes.
Communities of color, we want to kill all your babies. That's what Planned Parenthood does. That's what the White House is advocating for. That's what they just said.
It also deputizes private citizens to bring lawsuits against anyone who they believe has helped another person get an abortion, which might even include family members, healthcare workers, front desk staff at a healthcare clinic, or strangers with no connection to the individuals.
By the way, let's talk about that real quick. If you commit a crime or you help someone commit a crime and you are complicit in that crime, you can be sued. That's very normal in America. That's not abnormal. Okay, that's normal. They're trying to somehow act like what was just done is somehow inhumane or abnormal. It's not. If I help someone rob a bank, if I help them plan the robbing of the bank, if I steal them the blueprints of the bank, if I work for a company, private security company, I tell them the hours of the person who's guarding the bank, right? I'm involved in that felony. I'm involved in that moment. I'm involved in that. So, of course, there can be lawsuits against me, criminal and civil. Well, the law in Texas is an actual law. So if you help people break the law in Texas, which is exactly what this law is saying, if you help people break the law, this is what will happen to you. It's very simple. It's very normal. This isn't crazy, right? This isn't some insane idea. This is extremely normal, but they are freaking out because they know just how damning this is to the ability to kill off the minority community and for people to kill babies that actually can survive outside of the womb. Listen to the rest of the White House statement.
This further isolates individuals who are facing this tough choice. And I would note, for those of you who didn't see, people who report, for these private citizens could get up to $10,000 for reporting somebody who is seeking an abortion. So our focus and the president's focus is to reiterate our deep commitment to the constitutional right, of course, established by Roe v. Wade nearly five decades ago, and to continue to call for the codification of Roe, something that the president talked about on the campaign trail, the vice president talked about on the campaign trail, and this highlights even further the need to move forward on that effort.
Now, let's dial into a little bit of that psychotic nature real quick. The White House and the reason why they're going all in on this one is they need a wedge issue. Abortion is a wedge issue. They need to get supporters back on board after the disaster of Afghanistan. And this is the perfect opportunity for them to do that. You're going to hear a lot about this from the White House because they believe this will get people back on their side, right? They believe that this will get Democrats who are disgusted with Joe Biden for what he just did in Afghanistan to basically overlook it and go, okay, you may have hated us on this. However, ... we're still allowing and advocating for you to kill your baby. That's what they're doing. This is a wedge galvanizing issue, and they need it so badly right now. Now let's talk about Roe v. Wade real quick and what the law actually says and the reason why the Supreme Court has backed Texas and allowed this law to actually be implemented.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're talking tea, we're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today.
Here are some examples of what you'll hear from us on Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
This is where we discuss all things reality TV, all things popular culture.
And a little bit of Rappaport's reality, the reality of us.
We're figuring out. And if we had been recording these last 4 or 5 days,
ooh,
it would have been
juicy.
The podcast would have taken a left turn.
Listen to Rappaport's reality with me, Kibi Rappaport.
And me, Michael Rappaport, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
More Than a Movie is back with season two of the award-winning film podcast, and this time with a lot more movies. I'm your host, Alex Fumero, and each week I'm going to talk to the people behind some of my favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the OG spy kid, Alexa Penavega.
You had Carlo Gugino, who's the coolest mom ever. You had Antonio, who's handsome, amazing, charismatic. And then Carmen and Junie. I felt like a lot of other kids felt like this could be me.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Every episode will feature interviews with the biggest actors, directors, writers, and producers behind your favorite films and tap into the history of Latinos in film. Listen to More Than a Movie as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of the On Purpose podcast. On Purpose is dedicated to helping you be happier, healthier, and more healed. This week, I talked to Orlando Bloom in a rare interview where we went deep into how he got comfortable with fear, navigating the changes in relationships, and how to change the guilt and shame thought pattern. This conversation shows a never-seen-before side to Orlando Bloom and his unique life journey.
I think we all struggle sometimes to really deeply believe that we are enough, that we're valued, that we're valuable. You know, we're imprinted by our parents from the age of 0 to 7, right? Mm. I'm constantly trying to go, like, how do I detach from this idea of, is that my baggage? It doesn't look like my baggage. I mean, I know, okay, that's mine. Let's unpack that.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Many conservatives do not understand Roe v. Wade. They don't understand what the law actually says, what it stated. And I think it's important, the farther that we get away from that decision in 1973-74, that we understand exactly what that decision actually was, what the law actually says. And this is the reason why Texas had this huge victory, because they looked at the law and they figured out a way to challenge the law based on what the law stated, right? That's a huge reason why the Supreme Court said you can keep it, you can enact it. And now we can protect millions of innocent babies because they have a heartbeat, a fetal heartbeat that is detected. Now, let me explain to you Roe v. Wade. Now, that what the left and what the media wants you to believe is that Roe v. Wade was about giving a woman the right to abort a baby. It's her body, her choice, whenever she wants to. That is not actually what the law said in 1973. This original case was actually brought in 1969-1970. Okay? The argument was, does a woman have the right to choose to have an abortion if the child cannot viably live outside the womb? Others would describe it also as, does a woman have a right to have an abortion without excessive government restriction? And what the government said, okay, is that the child does have rights based on it, the viability of life outside the womb. Before that, they give more rights to the mother. And that is exactly how Roe v. Wade was implemented. What they've done in Texas, they've said, okay, we are going to take that, all right? And we are going to make an argument that the viability of a child outside the womb has changed drastically since 1968-1969 medicine. Look at the life expectancy of adults in this country. What's happened since the 1970s compared to 2021? It's drastically different because of modern medicine. That's exactly what's happened with viability of a child outside the womb. We now have children that are surviving outside the womb at just a couple of months old. It's hard, right? But because of modern medicine, because of NICUs, because of what we've been able to do, it is very clear that a child can survive outside the womb much easier now than they could in 1969. Now, this lawsuit, and just so people understand, Roe was Jane Roe, right? It was a name given to her to keep her identity private. Jane Roe, who in 1969 became pregnant with her third child, she wanted an abortion. She lived in Texas, where abortion was illegal except when necessary to save the mother's life. She then was referred to lawyers who filed a lawsuit on her behalf in a U.S. federal court against her local district attorney named Henry Wade, alleging that Texas's abortion laws were, quote, unconstitutional. There was a 3-judge panel of the U.S. District Court for the Northern District of Texas that heard the case and ruled in her favor. Texas then immediately appealed the ruling directly to the U.S. Supreme Court. And that's when in January of 73, now remember, this was in 1969 when she brought the lawsuit, which means they were going on 1968-67 medicine when they were making their argument about the viability of the child outside the womb. It wasn't until 4 years later in 73, the Supreme Court issued their 72 decision ruling that the Due Process Clause of the 14th Amendment of the U.S. Constitution provided a right to privacy that protects a pregnant woman's right to choose whether or not to have an abortion, but the ruling was not, and the right was not absolute. They said it must be balanced against the government's interest in protecting prenatal life. Okay, the court resolved this balancing between the mother and the baby's life was something that they would put in writing at certain levels. For example, the court resolved that abortion was something that was no good in the third trimester of pregnancy. They sided with the child then because of viability outside the womb. Roe v. Wade sided more with the mother during the first trimester. Governments could not prohibit abortions at all during the second trimester. Government could require, quote, reasonable health regulations because that was a toss-up area. But again, during the third trimester, abortions could be prohibited entirely, Roe v. Wade said, so long as the law contains exemptions for cases when they are necessary to save the life or health of the mother. Now, the court classified the right to choose to have an abortion as, quote, fundamental, which required courts to evaluate challenged abortion law under the strict scrutiny standard, as they called it, the highest level of judicial review, by the way, in the United States of America. So let's be clear. Roe v. Wade said that we are going to protect the life of a child, especially when that child has the ability to live outside the womb. Third trimester, second trimester, a toss-up. First trimester, because at that point in 1968-69 medicine, it was impossible basically to keep a child alive outside the womb in the first trimester. They said that goes to the mother. Now, this was all based on medicine in 1967, because they were using data when making the argument in 1969, when this woman became pregnant with a third child in Texas. So what Texas has done, and we need to do a better job, okay? We need to do a much better job of making this argument, is that they're saying modern medicine has changed everything. Okay, modern medicine has changed everything. Modern medicine now allows for a baby to survive outside the womb at a much earlier stage in life. Notice, Texas did not ban all abortions. Texas said after a fetal heartbeat is detected, you cannot have an abortion. And the Supreme Court said, yes, we'll throw this back down to the lower courts, but we're not going to say that you're violating Roe v. Wade. Now, I don't know if we'll ever be able to get rid of abortions, period, in this country. I want to make that clear. It's a very big uphill battle. What I do know is this. In Texas, we just saved millions of children from being aborted. Now, there's going to be people who say, well, they'll just go across state lines. Then other states need to do the same thing. There are going to be people like the White House that reduce abortions to a point where it's about race, which is disgusting, saying, well, we need to allow for minorities to kill more of their babies, which is disgusting. That's exactly the argument that the White House made. That is pure racism. That is deliberately, and I would argue that Planned Parenthood deliberately and purposely puts their clinics in minority communities to kill minorities. And it's sick that the Democratic Party advocates for this. This also ties very much into exactly what we're seeing and witnessing in Afghanistan right now. What we are witnessing and what we are seeing in Afghanistan is a devaluing of human life. Joe Biden can look at you and say, well, we got 90% out, good enough. The other 10% will be tortured, murdered. Who cares? It is what it is, right? Joe Biden can go with that. And the reason why is because this is the same guy that advocates for killing children. Why do you think he would value adult life when he doesn't even value a child's life? Think about that. It's disgusting. It is sick. But this is the Democratic Party in 2021. So understand why this victory is so important, and understand, and again, I'll say this, please, if you're listening to this right now, share this, okay? Grab the podcast and hit the share button and share this with your family and friends, because one of the things missing with Roe v. Wade is a lack of understanding about what the law actually says, and conservatives have forgot to argue within the law. It's exactly what Texas just did and did successfully. So understand, Roe v. Wade does not give the woman a right to abort a child whenever they want to. Okay, be very, very clear about that when you're debating this issue. Roe v. Wade gives the right to the mother to abort a child up until the child is viable. That's what Roe v. Wade said. And they banned it, by the way, in the third trimester, saying, no, we side on the side of life in the third trimester. Well, those numbers have changed with modern medicine. The viability of a child outside the womb has changed significantly because of modern medicine. And use the argument that I just made. We know life expectancy has skyrocketed since 1968. I mean, it has literally skyrocketed since 1968 because of modern medicine. Apply the same logic to a child outside the womb. This is I cannot state to you how significant this victory is, because it's going to give other states a blueprint of how to do the same thing that they just did in Texas. It's going to be a big fight, but it's one worth having.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're talking tea, we're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today.
Here are some examples of what you'll hear from us on Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
This is where we discuss all things reality TV, all things popular culture.
And a little bit of Rappaport's reality, the reality of us.
We're
a
figuring out. And if we had been recording these last 4 or 5 days, it would have been,
juicy.
Podcast would have taken a left turn.
Listen to Rappaport's Reality with me, Kibi Rappaport.
And me, Michael Rappaport, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
More Than a Movie is back with season 2 of the award-winning film podcast, and this time with a lot more movies. I'm your host, Alex Fumero, and each week I'm going to talk to the people behind some of my favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the OG spy kid, Alexa Penavega.
You had Carlo Gugino, who's the coolest mom ever. You had Antonio, who's handsome, amazing, charismatic. And then Carmen and Junie. I felt like a lot of other kids felt like this could be me.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie, because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Every episode will feature interviews with the biggest actors, directors, writers, and producers behind your favorite films, and tap into the history of Latinos in film. Listen to More Than a Movie as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of the On Purpose podcast. On Purpose is dedicated to helping you be happier, healthier, and more healed. This week, I talked to Orlando Bloom in a rare interview where we went deep into how he got comfortable with fear, navigating the changes in relationships, and how to change the guilt and shame thought pattern. This conversation shows a never-seen-before side to Orlando Bloom and his unique life journey.
I think we all struggle sometimes to really deeply believe that we are enough, that we're valued, that we're valuable. You know, we're imprinted by our parents from the age of 0 to 7, right? Mm. I'm constantly trying to go like, how do I detach from my, this idea of, is that my baggage? It doesn't look like my baggage. I mean, I know, okay, that's mine. Let's unpack that.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, I want to pivot real quick to this other extremely important issue, and that is getting Americans out of Afghanistan. Joining me now is U.S. Senator Marsha Blackburn. Senator, I appreciate you coming on today and giving us this update. And let's start with this. Number one, the reports coming out or is that people and private organizations are begging right now, and when I say begging, I mean literally are begging to get the assistance, the help to get people out, all right, of the country. People from other nations, you know, our land planes in other nations, and then be able to try to get people across the border. That's what we're being told right now. And what we're being told is that the State Department pretty much is doing nothing. They're doing nothing at all. Now, I want to go back to, I think we got a better connection with the senator now. Senator, let's start again with a question I was asking you a moment ago in case you couldn't hear exactly what I was saying. We are being told that there are private individuals who are trying to get airplanes into other countries around Afghanistan to try to get people out of Afghanistan. The State Department is virtually doing nothing to help. Is that what you're hearing as well?
We are hearing that there is a difficulty. I had just had a text message from someone who had been at DOD for several years. And I will tell you this. We are, pardon me, we're working as much as we can. We're working with state. Our office, our Senate office, has handled about 2,000 cases trying to help get Americans, get SIVs, individuals out. And we're continuing this work to find places where we can get planes in or we can get planes out. The goal is to save every single one. And let me tell you something, Ben. If it is not a priority with Joe Biden to get every American out, if 90% is good enough for him, it is not good enough for me. It is not good enough for the American people, and they are just so upset with this. So many of our military, our guardsmen that have worked with drivers and translators and intel sources, what they are hearing right now from these SIVs that got left behind and their families that got left behind. This is inexcusable, and the State Department did not do the heavy lift that was necessary to meet this accelerated timeline.
You know, you look at the it seems to be total just, I would argue, dereliction of duty from the State Department, from this White House. The State Department spokesman Ned Price couldn't even answer a very basic question that was asked to him about Americans abandoned, Americans left behind. Listen to this.
Yes. Did you have a number for, have any Americans gotten out since that last flight?
I don't have data to provide on that front.
I don't have data to provide on that front. They don't even know if one American has gotten out since they left. How does the State Department not know that when the State Department is supposed to be in charge of getting Americans out now that the Pentagon has left and the military has left?
Well, it is. You're exactly right. It's their job. And newsflash for Ned Price. These are human beings. They are American citizens. They are American partners and allies. They are not a data point on your spreadsheet. These are individuals that we made a promise to, and Joe Biden has broken that promise. He is weak. He is disinterested. He is callous. He is hard-hearted. There are just no words sometimes to describe what he has done and how he's done it.
What are your, I mean, you know, you're a U.S. senator. You've been a congresswoman. You've dealt with a lot of ups and downs in different administrations. You've dealt with Republican presidents, Democratic presidents. I know the answer to this. You've never dealt with an administration like the Biden administration, what we're witnessing right now. But what are the options now for so many senators and congressmen like you to even try to get people out of the country and try to help? I mean, if the White House is just saying, we're done, we're looking the other way, it's game over. At this point, is there any option but for these former military members to virtually go rogue and try to get their own people out that help them? I mean, we have the interpreter, we've been told, that helped save Joe Biden's life, John Kerry's life, and another senator when their helicopter over Afghanistan was forced to make an emergency landing because of snow. And that interpreter that went with a quick reaction force from Bagram Air Base to help save their lives, that interpreter has been left behind begging to get out of the country. And the White House, Jen Psaki, says, oh, we'll get them. Well, maybe not if the Taliban gets them first.
Well, you're right about that. And see, when they left the embassy, they say they destroyed all this data. There's biometric data. The stories that we're hearing about people who have worked in our embassy or worked with some of the NGOs or some of the Christian organizations, people that have served our military and fought alongside them. We don't know what kind of persecution or maybe even death, what they're going to endure because of their affiliation with us. And Ben, this is why our allies are now looking at us and saying, is the USA going to be a dependable ally? And it is why I have said Joe Biden, Kamala Harris, Lloyd Austin, General Milley, Susan Rice, they should all, Anthony Blinken, they should all resign. What they have done in the name of the United States of America, this is not how we conduct ourselves. We do not abandon people. We do not leave people behind. We stand up and we fight. We fight for freedom. We fight for freedom's cause every single day.
It is truly unconscionable where we are right now for people that are listening, and maybe they have family or friends that they're still trying to get out of the country in Afghanistan, or veterans that are still trying to get their interpreters out of the country. What is the playbook for this? I mean, what is the rule, the order of command? What should people be doing first, second, and third? Do we even have that from the State Department now?
No, we don't. And we had a briefing call with Secretary Blinken, Mayorkas, Austin, and General Milley yesterday, and I was in the queue right at the top. But, of course, they never called on me for my question. And one of them was, okay, since the last flight got out of there Monday night, we have received no instruction. We know we have people that had their papers that went to the airport but could not get through the gate. So we don't know what the next step is. How are they working with Pakistan and with other countries to get flights in and out to get people? How are these charter flights going to be happening? How are they working with the Taliban? What are they telling our allies about how they're working with the Taliban? When are they going to secure that southern border? Because Joe Biden let that Bagram go back to the Taliban. They opened the gates. They freed 5,000 Al-Qaeda and Taliban fighters. So are we securing our border so that these people do not come to our homeland? What kind of assurances are you giving that you are going to apprehend these people? I've got a list of questions, but they don't want to give answers.
Last question for you. 87 is the new number of generals and admirals that have joined together, signing their name, demanding that not only does Austin, but General Milley resign for this Afghanistan disaster. Do you believe they should resign for what they have just done, leaving on purpose 10%, their number, not mine, of Americans stranded in a dangerous area controlled by a brutal enemy, along with the Afghans who supported American forces?
Yes, they should resign. One, if they were too timid to speak up and say to the President of the United States, sir, to move from a conditions-based withdrawal to a date certain is a very dangerous thing. If they were too timid to say, sir, the CIA has told us the Taliban is aggressive in their movement. The CIA has pulled out. We need to reassess this. We need to review. If they did not do that, then absolutely they should resign. I think every one of them should resign.
You know, resigning for me, I think, is a no-brainer. But I also, and I do want to ask you this, do we have any leverage? I mean, with the Taliban, they need money. We've seen they have a currency issue already. We're seeing them telling people you can only get so much money out of the bank every day, even though it's your money. Why are we acting like we have no leverage? I mean, why aren't we looking at the Taliban saying, if you guys want any humanitarian aid or anything from us ever in the future, you better let us get all of our people out? We still, it doesn't seem, are using any leverage that we genuinely have right now to get people out. How is that possible?
Here's what I think happened. We have the war on terror. Why did we call it the war on terror? Because the Islamic radicals did not have a home country, per se. We were not fighting a nation state. What this administration has done is to give these radicals a nation that they can control. It is now the Islamic Emirate. So what we have to realize is they have done a lot of this. Biden and his administration, I think this has been intentional. You know, this is something that they have intentionally done. They wanted to say, we have washed our hands of Afghanistan. So I think that they're very shy to use any kind of leverage. And then not just with the Taliban, look at what they could do with China and Russia and Iran, who are all partnering up with the Taliban. They could be doing sanctions. And they're not doing anything. They are sitting there on their hands. Of course, they were all on vacation. They were out at the Hamptons. They had to come back. They were out at Camp David. They had to come back. And they have allowed the Taliban to move forward. You know, they said they didn't want to. The USA could have taken control of Kabul until all of this process was done, but they decided not to do that.
Yeah, the Washington Post reporting that, which is shocking, that literally there was a meeting between our government and the Taliban where they said, hey, you guys can control all of Kabul until you get your people out, or we can, you pick. And we said, all we want to control is the airport. You guys can control the city. And that is when we sealed the fate of people to their deaths.
That's right. So you look at this myriad of decisions that they have made, and this is why they all need to go. What they have done is so wrong. It's not fair to our men and women in uniform. It is not fair to the U.S. citizen, leaving all of that equipment, abandoning Bagram Airfield. That's not right. Not fair to the U.S. taxpayer. And then to say we're going to provide humanitarian aid to the Taliban. The Taliban are terrorists. You cannot have diplomatic relations with a terrorist organization. So
I couldn't agree with you more on that one. And we're hearing now that this administration is even floating the idea of us joining with the Taliban to maybe keep close eye in check. It is disgusting. Senator, I really appreciate you coming on the show today. And again, to everyone that listening right now, please make sure you share this podcast. Hit that share button right now. Share this podcast with your family and friends on social media and make sure others listen. We'll see you back here tomorrow.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today.
Listen to Rappaport's Reality with me, Kibi Rappaport.
And me, Michael Rappaport, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
Hey, I'm Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of the On Purpose podcast. This week, I talked to Orlando Bloom in a rare interview where we went deep into how to get comfortable with fear and how to change the guilt and shame thought pattern.
People say, what are you afraid of, right? I'm afraid of fear because it's like I want to confront anything in my life that feels challenging on those levels.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.